Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a gray afternoon, a little bit of sun, a little warmer. We've been mighty cold. And my name's Rob Christensen. As I've talked about climate engineering in the Bible all along in my blogs, today I'm going to talk about more about the symbolic meaning, significance of Prophecy Rock found in the Four Corners area of the Western United States. You know, I think of the states Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. I heard Nevada, I'm sorry. So in that Four Corners area is this sacred rock and hieroglyphs, ancient hieroglyphs. The elder indigenous people there say that it's even before the time of Christ that rock was carved and etched in stone, the two life paths that we are heading, one being removed from Earth, detached from our biological moorings, in a path of loss that comes to a zigzag end. And the lower path is where we're in accord with creation, we're in touch with the Earth, as indigenous people always have been and always will be. And in these times, it's well known that only remnants of these populations, so-called primitive or tribal, you know, still live among us. And yet such vivid examples of their wisdom versus modern civilization intelligence, that we're in such a mess in this planet, threatening life as a whole, extinction, rebellion, extinction as a subject that's coming up. It's like we're all waking up to this crisis, knowing that other extinctions have happened before us. And why not look to people that still are here, yet have survived well past even the time that the Bible was written, if you take science for what it says, that indeed, as humans developed and evolved and became conscious and able to think and manipulate objects, make roads, make highways, make cell phones, there's still that spiritual essence that, you know, if we lose touch with that, we're in deep trouble. And there's an eternal element to this spirituality of space and time. In other words, I was going to say this at the end, but I'll say it now because it just struck my interest as I was reading the book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Here's a man that woke up from his miseries and, you know, lived in peace for quite a while and then started studying religions. And his book became a worldwide bestseller because it's helped so many people. Of course, he was never expecting a life like this, but it happened that way. And in his wisdom, you know, he says that, you know, when one falls asleep, we are in that unmanifested state. You know, all animals and people, all creatures, you know, we maybe there's some out there that don't rest, but I think all need that period of stillness. And that's what's so sacred, and yet we lose touch with what we have inside us. In that unmanifested state, to me, it's interesting that, you know, unless you're super drunk and wake up feeling miserable, sleep restores you. It's an automatic, miraculous process that replenishes our body. And, you know, we don't even know it's happening. So maybe we could be asleep for 20 years like Johnny Appleseed or whatever and not know time. So in that state of stillness, there's something that is very special that we can't lose touch of. And in the egoic mind, according to both Osho, who was a man from India, who during the 1960s became kind of a cult hero, but at the same time, in my opinion, a real prophet for his profound ability to express the meaning of the hidden gospel of Thomas, and the teachings of people of the first light, people from the Middle East and the East. And people of the first light, I guess that's a subjective thing, but it just seems that, you know, in Africa, the Middle East, as humans developed, there came, you know, the original knowledge that is so important for us to continue on. And just as in Prophecy Rock and the Hopi tribe, there have been past extinctions. The Hopi tribe attributes that in part to the behavior of humans in the past. So whether it's the Ice Age, earthquakes, or the Great Flood, which would be the last one, that the Great Flood was, it said, buried over or destroyed what was, you know, different languages and even advanced technologies and spiritual transformation. But still, for whatever reason, humankind had been failing, and as a consequence, a new transformation has to take place. It's an Armageddon of sorts when we speak of the word extinction, or you know, like a burning, separating the wheat from the chaff. You know, purification—that's the word I'm looking for. So, wanted to update quickly just on my personal effort with climate engineering. Some amazing evidence has come out lately that is worth sharing before I get too far into the topic for today: Stone Key and Keystone Prophecy Revisited. Again, 2 weeks ago in my blog, I talked about, in a symbolic way, the Hopi prophecy about where we're headed, and using stone as the key word to express the big picture that is sometimes hard to grasp, because we get so busy in our little world, our myopic world, we don't see the cornucopia, we're not part of it, that can lead us to that utopian future. But I've applied again for grad school through the masters in advocacy and political leadership. And there, previously I tried individual studies, and I think I somewhat confused with my essay, kind of overwhelmed. But regardless, my point is not to get a master's degree so much as to have access to college campuses. And here's why. Just on Monday this week, for the fifth time, I had my display on geoengineering, where fact and photo materials are highly visible and will catch people's eye. And I've been able to connect and really get some deep and productive conversations to help spread the spot fires of awareness that are so desperately needed about how this technology, along with many other technologies, have led us to this mess we're in toward extinction. So I've found in a backwards route how from the very beginning, the photo fact materials that quickly introduce one to what climate engineering is and its devastating impact, and the massive lie that, you know, what we see in the sky is just condensation trails that won't harm us. That's, again, the job of agencies, as this hierarchical government has removed itself and separated itself from the whole, from planet Earth, you know, somewhere up in their fantasies, it creates, agencies tend to create lies to keep us from fearing, from waking up, from seeing what is actually happening. So, for example, particulate matter, as measured for a long time, has only been in larger microns, or, you know, quite a few microns. And below that, for just the nanoparticles and so forth, they haven't been measured. Yet, nanoparticles of aluminum, barium, you know, various mixes of chemicals that are sprayed with aerosols, not chemtrails. These are jet sprayed aerosols. Chemtrails is a public word that, you know, can be accepted in conversation, but will mislead eventually as conspiracy theory. So scientifically, jet sprayed aerosols, the nanoparticles, I remind, are more dangerous and not measured. That's because they want, those who do this, want this to be kept secret. The military-industrial complex, the people that have all the money from corporations. But I digress a little bit. Anyways, it would be exciting to be accepted to some kind of program, so I would have access to the University of Minnesota campus and other college campuses to spread the display in creative ways, spread the spot fires of awareness of how we need to stop, you know, destroying the earth, starting with climate engineering. If we don't acknowledge climate engineering, you know, the author of website geoengineeringwatch.org, Dane Wigington, has said many times over 20 years of effort now that mathematically, scientifically, it's very provable that our fate is sealed if we don't get remove this technology and become aware, just like when DDT was back in the 60s, when I was 5 years old and I witnessed the spraying of the forest surrounding our camp, how dangerous that was. Humanity finally awoke to the DDT harm and banned it. Nuclear weapons have finally been banned, yet, you know, there's still some ongoing efforts. And as Dane said in his last Global Alert News last Saturday, he said, you know, what kind of Orwellian world we live in when the world climate, biosphere, web of life is collapsing, yet military budgets are ever increasing. It's just, it's so crazy. So, you know, bring on Armageddon. That seems to be the case. And, you know, as has been said by one of the elders, I'm trying to get his name here. I don't have it in front of me. When I get to it, I'll let you know. But an elder said that it's not humans, it's corporations. Really, it's the fault of corporations where we get this system that overrules us through money. And we become removed from Earth. And Earth takes on the cost that's never accounted for as we pave the planet and just toil with the Earth endlessly as if it's limitless. Well, it's not. You know, we have finite resources, a finite planet, yet corporate culture of eternal growth, which it do the math, it doesn't work. So the Stone Key Prophecy Rock was, or the keystone of the cover-up arch power structure is climate engineering. Its clouding of the atmosphere prevents the natural occurrence of thunderstorms, thus covering up drying, spreading of the moisture, overwhelming moisture, so everything dries. And aluminum, of course, in the aerosols, that's exactly what it states on the patent, that it's a drying feature. So, you know, the sky, instead of dumpling clouds, becomes a featureless gray, just kind of an ugly, gloomy surrounding. Thus, no rainbows, which, of course, is a biblical symbol. And when I think of an arch where the keystone is at the top, there's really two sides to the keystone. And whereas a rainbow is just a continuous perfection, intangible, you can't touch it. There's no gold under the rainbow because you'll never find it. And gold is something tangible. That's you know, the illusion that we live in sometimes, where the material world, unlike the spiritual world being formless, like when we fall asleep, we go into a deeper realm, all creatures. But in addition to that deeper realm, there's a consciousness of that realm that we search and dig and learn about by being present every moment, by being alert to what's going on, by being understanding reality for what it is and responding to it, using that positive force that's within us to, you know, live in the moment, whereas the egoic mind is always looking to the future or past. So the concept of time is part of our egos, which we have to have, but through the pains that we suffer by having an egoic mind, where we're worried about the future or we're regretting our past and being distracted from the present, excuse me. So, you know, we lose touch with that spiritual power from within. So the East and the West, you know, different cultures. Yet, if you look at it, that's what Osho in his book, The Mustard Seed, is trying to say, is that the egoic mind, the power structure, some of the authors of the Bible, the Bible has sacred moral traditions and lessons in it, no doubt. But, you know, things were written by man, and in a patriarchal society that Jesus came to, which, you know, in my opinion, I believe he saw that as an imbalance between men and women, and adults and children. So, you know, that effort to balance these forces, the yin and the yang, the East meets the West. But again, the keystone, which, like climate engineering, is the ultimate war weather warfare, biological warfare, it's man versus nature, Dems versus Republicans, Democrats versus Republicans, women versus men. So this artificial stone structure with Keystone at the top, I can't help but thinking of Illuminati, the stonemasons, the Masonic clubs, were, you know, go way back centuries, and they had a very powerful impact on society and spread throughout Europe and surroundings. And, you know, it's even said that George Washington warned of the Illuminati, that they were leaned toward the secular view of things, not the spiritual view, secular versus religion, material versus spiritual. So it's as if it's metastasized, where this keystone that is up there on top of the of two divided forces, taking up with greed all the things with war. Again, when you have two sides battling, somebody on top can take the spoils or, you know, manipulate the battle from below. So it's, I'm venturing way out here, but it's very difficult to describe in words sometimes something that is very, you know, a signpost. And again, I find it very interesting that Prophecy Rock is, you can't help it, it is a signpost. It's so obvious when you see the two life paths, one that comes to a zigzag end and one that continues on beyond the corner of the rock. And by the way, if you put your back to the face of that rock, you come to the summer solstice. So just as other runes have this incredible accuracy in regard to directions and the stars and so forth, it's really intriguing to delve into that occult world where Coast to Coast Radio brings out speakers like the Hopi Elders. They were on the Art Bell Show back in the early 90s, where, you know, these elders spoke. They have a medium, a radio, a way to get their message out, whereas so often in this separate society, such voices are totally ignored. In fact, the Hopis came, let me see, four times to the United Nations. They called it the House of Micah because of the shining windows. You know, their descriptions are so apt. Rivers of rock, that's where you see your reflection. That's a description for the roadways we built. You know, these were ancient oral signs that the Hopi spoke about, where somehow, some way, it's as if they knew what the future portends. Excuse me. So that's the keystone I've talked about, and of course the stone key is Prophecy Rock. So I want to talk about possible interpretations as to the meaning of figures inscribed in this hieroglyph. And the authors made clear that they don't really know, even the elders, where they have accurately passed on oral traditions. They can't predict exactly in time what's going on, only that in certain times these signs that they see of prophecy will happen and are happening now. Additional information about what little history means as to the identity of the Hopi tribes I'll try to discuss in some order. Recorded conversations with tribal elders, some of whom were over 100 years of age. And record hot October globally, near the record cold in most of the lower 48 states. And as long as I talked a little bit about climate engineering, let's get that one out of the way right now, because that's the easiest one for me to be organized and talk about. And it is essential to know. Dane Wigington of Global Alert News, with his geoengineeringwatch.org website, had an 8-minute video that he shared last Friday. And it's about engineering winter. And as we know, October, November have been cold. And in the most of the lower 48 states, excluding some of the western portion of the country, we've had even record cold at times. But interesting, this is the point that he's getting at, Dane Wigington, and that is October was the hottest October ever on modern global record. Yet, how can it be that this big chunk, which is only, you know, what, 2/3% of the global surface, can be kept cold? So if you take a GISS map, I don't know what that means, geological whatever, you can look it up. But these are official maps where temperatures have been taken. This is science. This is math. This is 2 + 2 = 2. These are real graphic representations of reality. So what you'll see is from baseline data, from the average of 30 years, from 1950 to 1980, taking those average temperatures and then looking at the present year, or the present month, whatever it is, the month of October shows this big blotch of just white. And the rest of the globe, you'll see red and orange, which means hot, or, you know, warmer. So clearly, this, to anyone looking at a map, they would have to shake their head and say, there's obviously something going on here. It's not nature. It's human intervention. And what it is, according to the 8-minute tape, is the ionospheric heaters, which cause the ridiculously resilient high-pressure ridge, make the jet stream spin and bend in a way that moisture goes over the west in California. It's mist. It becomes hot and dry. This heat dome, so to speak, that make, you can see from the satellite, this big open picture of no moisture. And that moisture spreads around through Canada by Alaska, via Alaska and down into the 48 states. And that's where they can spray, the airplanes will spray the chemical that ice nucleates the droplets and creates this cold downdraft of a low-level cooling, a toxic cooling. And again, above in the higher altitudes, it'll be warm. But it gives all who are subject and living in this cold the feeling that, you know, we're in an ice age, or, you know, that everything's fine. So just wanted to get that across. And so I'd like, as I've already tied together a little bit about Osho and Eckhart Tolle, and there are many discussions about Jesus Christ, to lead us out of the asylum of modern times and back to the source that sustains us, you know, as I was speaking of sleep and so forth, into this, the realization of this formless presence that can't be expressed in words, but we all feel it. We feel in ourselves at times that we've always been here, we've always lived, you know, our soul is eternal, and there's nothing really to stress about. You know, it's a certain inner peace that shows itself at times, and enlightened people can live it most of the time, at least in their lives. And in some ways, as Osho explains, the reincarnation that may be alien to Western religion and so forth, the idea there is that we recycle if we don't escape into timelessness and presence, if we live a life based on the ego of time, where we perceive time and we have pain, and we become self-centered or greedy or whatever, then as we die, we get recycled more or less. That same soul that's eternal, it'll come back, but in an unconscious state, and start the journey over again in this Dharma wheel of what, you know, the Eastern culture of, you know, kind of a circular life cycle pattern. Whereas an enlightened person will, you know, more or less escape into eternity. So just as out west, Martin Luther King, you know, various heroic people have done these things that have reached eternity. In other words, they've left an impact in their lives. They were able to have the courage and live the fullest life possible and do their best to live in accord, you know, with creation. So the sign of the cross again is from the vertical line and the horizontal line crossing each other. The horizontal line is time, and the intersection of the vertical line of the cross, the vertical line represents timelessness, where Jesus Christ achieved timelessness, Buddha achieved timelessness, because they were able to develop their egos and learn, but they were also able to drop the egoic mind. In other words, they had to get there to understand what the egoic mind is before they could drop it. Just like a person that earns great wealth learns that great wealth isn't the only thing there is. They still have a void. They still have a fear of death. And by dropping their need for wealth, that doesn't mean, as Buddha realized, that you have to be poor and starving, but it means that you have to just understand that, you know, you've got to take care of your bodily needs. You don't need to starve and be an ascetic. Because some religions, some cults, you know, believe that you were to basically starve and live so minimal and so miserable because they believed the body was disgusting. And as Eckhart Tolle said, that, you know, that was kind of a mistake that sent many religions on a path of the ego, kind of away from the spiritual grounding that, you know, is the goal. So, so back to some of the notes, I wanted to talk about Prophecy Rock. Again, I supplied a picture in the email of the two life paths. But the symbols are quite interesting because on those two life paths are symbols. So I'll go through those symbols. The first symbol of these arcane symbols is Massaw, the Hopi god of death, of fire and earthly, the earthly plane. On his right hand is an arrow that points to the underworld, which was the past extinction. Some might interpret this arrow as, instead of being used against other people, it's pointed to the ground, you know, to stop war. But, okay, I lost my place here. So, yes, it points to the extinction, or the third extinction, which was the flood. The left hand holds the path to the current world, which is the fourth world. And that goes up to the two life paths. And as he holds the line that goes vertical towards those two life paths, there's a circle to the right. It's the rim or the horizon. It's the cyclical nature of life, I guess, or the earth, and it's as a circular entity. And there's a plus, which some would interpret as the Christian cross. Others would interpret it as positive, negative, neutral, just existential, magnetism powers. But to the Hopis, the Christian cross, I think some of the elders would say that's the sign of the Spanish Catholic incursion, where, the Spanish colonized the West. So, that's interesting. In other words, that's the white man's coming to change, the landscape. Now, as the line goes up, it forms a square or a rectangle, and that's interpreted as the village, the Pueblo village of the Hopis, the plaza, whatever. And the lower line, which is the one where it's in harmony and accord with earth, close to the ground, worshiping the Creator and in harmony, there's three circles on that path. And these are earth shakings, World War I, World War II, and World War III. And to the right of the circle, there's a cornstalk and a Hopi man. And I think this was also referred to as Massa, or kind of like the Creator continuing, with life into the future, into utopia. But the cornstalk and the Hopi man tending corn. And of course, in Hopi culture, in that arid region, there's obviously hard work to get food. There's not a lot of grain, but corn was their sustenance. And again, in their origin story, there's something about the smallest ear of corn is packed with the most nutrients. And the larger the corn, the poorer the choice among brothers to inherit, the traditions of the Hopi. And I think of large corn as, for example, GMO corn. It you can eat it. It provides energy, but no nutrients. So one's the body suffers. And who knows, even it may have aluminum in it. So again, the top path, just as a reminder, that's where technology takes over. We can fly airplanes. It's the higher path. It's technology. And interestingly, in these past extinctions, the Hopis do say that there was some advanced technology that got rubbed out from extinction. There was some advanced civilization even before, the 12,000 years, or 10,000 years around the time of the Bible. I want to mention too, I didn't have time to find, but this is all so far talk of men leadership. What about women? And even with Dane Wigington, though I praise what he does, I see him in many ways as a prophet, maybe the white brother that the Hopis are talking about, but a man trying to restore and salvage what we can so that less is destroyed. But Dane himself, he'll quote in history, the prevalence of men in writing, but seldom is there mention of women. And yet, the Hopis, somewhere, there were women that dispute some of the story and say the spider woman is also an equal who brings on salvation. Just like the white big brother and then the little brother, which is interpreted to be the Hopi people. excuse me. And the spider women makes sense in that the web of life, you know, it's women that more than men, men are missing a DNA, for example. It's women that, you know, without create life, and they're in touch with the web of life more so than men. It's men, the imbalance of the yin yang, where men are the ones have taken the bulk of the greed. Not that women aren't a part of this destructive culture. It's just that, you know, one can't help milk that spider women. If I can find that, I'll bring that in a future blog and discuss more in depth. It should not be hidden. And also, this comes to mind too. You know, Paul Revere, in my poem, I talk about, in my poem about climate engineering, I talk about Paul Revere and compare Dane Wigington to being a Paul Revere of the planet, a Paul Revere against the empire, that the empire is falling instead of the British are coming. And, you know, I thought, who were the women that were also mourning? And I didn't get time to get the woman's name. I have it in my wallet. But there was a woman who did this tremendous job of, you know, when the British invasion of the American colonies happened, there's this woman that did an amazing job on horse, just like Paul Revere. So I have to laugh. You know, I get a little creative sometimes, and I think, if I'm to continue displaying geoengineering materials, it's fun to have a name. And I would, and if I had the woman's name, but the Paul Revere Library Club. You know, something innocuous, something that doesn't disturb people like Extinction Rebellion. I'm very sympathetic with Extinction Rebellion and what they're doing and the courage they have to try to rip down and say, look, our government's failing, and we're, if we've made requests and you're not answering those requests, we have to do direct action. But again, it's, they're somewhat out of touch too, because it's the people I meet in the library that they're busy. They, you know, if they had the luxury to go out and protest, there's a bit of a superficial aspect where, you know, where do people even find the time to organize this? They have money and spare time, whereas a lot of people, you know, your normal everyday person is so busy just making ends meet. They wish they had the time to do such things, but it's a bit superficial, I guess, if a pledge, you know, other than just showing up with a mass movement, which got put down finally. You know, at first there was cooperation, and then there was a crackdown in the last Extinction Rebellion in Britain. So it seems inevitable that unless people walk the talk, it's not going to make a lot of progress. But I cannot criticize the efforts of Extinction Rebellion. But I can only state, as Dane Wigington stated, that, and Brother Job, you have said the same thing to me, that watch out, there will be a crackdown, and it'll snuff, you know, good intention. And it's just like whistleblowers. They're supposed to be protected. And people like Assange are now being tortured. And yet he was one who exposed the people that are guilty. How can you call this man guilty when he simply exposed the guilty people who were, you know, our own military murdering people cold-bloodedly against even the rules of war? If there is such a thing as a rule of war. So, okay, I'm past the symbols of Prophecy Rock. And there were some additional notes. I should say, too, I meant to talk a little bit about how the the Hopis came about. It's difficult to say because, you know, the Hopi were various tribes in that region of the Four Corners area, the four states that somehow came together. And what was in common is they lived in dry, arid land. They lived in these pueblos. You know, it's rocks or how should I say, clay and mud formed houses. And as a peace, you know, another characteristic, a very peaceable tribe. There's not in their oral tradition a record of war. You know, maybe some disagreements, but they were able to go deep inside their kavas, I believe it's called, and prophesize and look deep and meditate and together, you know, dwell on the greatness of the Creator and their obligation to the Creator for the gift of life. So out of that, I think that's why in modern times there's been this tremendous interest in Hopi prophecy because there's just something special in their story. And it so happened that a man came by who was a Christian missionary, and it was in 1958. His first name was David, and if I find the name, I'll let you know. But the important point is the White Feather, an elder, met this Christian missionary. And since White Feather's sons had all died, he saw this missionary as a man he could trust. In meeting him, the Christian missionary, David, gave him a ride. And, you know, they talked in long length, and White Feather revealed the oral story, the origin story, and all about Prophecy Rock. And that's how this information I'm sharing now came about. So I think David Young was his name. And so, you know, somehow, some way, whether it's the United Nations or this white man missionary, the Hopi struggle is to keep a balance to earth. And, you know, their ceremonial worshiping is to continue that balance. But again, the challenges in modern times with cell phones and so forth, it's very difficult to maintain with all the distractions going on. Yet, this sacred land exist, as far as I know, relatively untouched. There is a certain understanding that this is an inviolable part of Earth, and even a predicted area of Earth that with this Armageddon or extinction process we're in, that will be a safe place in the future, in the very, very near future. So so as I look, and just to summarize again, the world had one language at a time. People turned away, so thus came the earthquakes. People turned away, thus came the Ice Age, where they still had one language. But again, that after that, they became more advanced. But again, they lost their spirituality and technology and gambling. And during that time, developed different languages. And then finally, the flood came. And that leads us, after the flood, with all the different languages developed. And as they state in their origin story, the humans traveled to all four corners of the earth, of different colored skin colors and so forth. So the world's in bad shape. pollution, starvation, war, greed. In the West, there's reservations. So the Hopis know that after the Gulf War, that's the beginning of World War III. It's been put off, but yet it is here in the form of eternal war on terrorism. So it's a time of choice to live or we all die. And again, as I've said, they've been to the UN. The elders, they want to bring the elders there to teach and speak for nature, just as nature has no voice. And just as did Daniel Quinn in his book, Ishmael, where over decades he designed this book, where he finally realized that let's make an ape the main character to speak for the web of life. So that book was very profound in the way Daniel Quinn wrote it, where he tied into the Genesis story and the New Testament to how we face extinction and what can be, you know, interpreted as reality versus fantasy or misinformation in the Bible. And interestingly, too, you know, one of the signs of the fire of the the Hopi prophecy is in geoengineering, in that the wildfires that have come about, it may well be, in fact, I'm quite certain, it's been intentional with geoengineering to create fires. That's how desperate the power structure is. Recent wildfires have created plumes over the North Pole. This shelters the North Pole from the sun's radiation, thus keeping it cool. Because when the North Pole melts away, then it's exponential increase in heat. That's when the chemistry of the atmosphere will change so dramatically, we won't recognize this as a planet. I mean, it's beyond what one can cope with if you think about it, that, you know, that there could be a total end to the planet, become a sister planet to Venus. On the other hand, as the Hopi elders say, though the purification process, extinction, whatever you call it, there's great pain and loss, they believe that that it's renewal as well. So do not take everything negative. There's every reason, and it will take all of us, each individually, to do their best to reconnect with the great spirit, so to speak, with the creator. And there's every reason to believe that we can come out of this and make this transformation into a much more, peaceful and aware life, a loving life where there's just a lot less pain. You know, there's so much unnecessary pain. There's pain amplified in many ways when we look at addictions and we look at desecration of, you know, the native lands, of indigenous lands. And as I reflect back to in a short way to put it, the tribal chief in the Amazon who was addressing the problem of wildfires, and the Brazilian president who was basically removing ethnic cleansing these people from their Amazonian land, the so-called jungles that foster such a diversity of life, where the tribal elders said, you people are lost. You know, in modern civilization, you are so lost, because even though we fight among ourselves as tribes, yes, we're just human beings too. We are all now together against you, or warning you that you are lost. And why is it that you convert our jungle into crops of soybeans to feed cattle, to feed the rich in another land away from us. I thought that was so well put. So, well, let me pause here. Again, there's just sometimes it's so compelling to dig deep into these meanings that one gets lost and scrambled. But if there's any questions out there, I'll entertain them now. Or I can continue on. I have a little bit more information. There was Robert Goldswolf. That was the spiritual healer that I meant to talk about earlier, that who said, you know, people are not the enemy. It's corporations. We're in a corporate system. And its hunger is for money. And its hunger is to keep us on a treadmill, and with money created out of thin air, we just keep spinning and spinning, moving and moving, and we can't even focus on our lives. You know, it's kind of this unconscious, hypnotic way we live sometimes, where, you know, the quality of our lives is that we're just not really tapping into that consciousness, that we live in a chronic state of unconscious. And, you know, people are really hard up, are in a deep state of unconscious, you know, the suicide, the addictions. So there was also Grandfather Manaji, who said, you know, the balance of nature depends on us. The world will be what we want it to be. Again, there was some incredible sayings of the elders that was shared on Midnight Radio or Coast to Coast from Art Bell, and presently it's George Nori who hosts most of these nighttime radio shows. There's something about being in the dark where one can still their spirit and just, you know, all the distractions are gone and you can just focus on creation and, you know, creativity and also, you know, seek where truths lie and seek the meaning of, you know, why we're here. So this person, I'm trying to find his name again. I need these names. Where is his name? Thomas Banyakaya. I'll talk a little bit about him because he was a spokesperson for the UN, and he just did an incredible job of summing it up in 10 minutes what, you know, is really going on in this world. So again, he spoke for nature and the spiritual energy that flows through all life. He has studied comparative religion. He says every continent has humans like you, you know, in this Western world, but who have not separated themselves from the land and nature. Through their voices that nature speaks to us, natives spoken, and destructive lives, homeland, ruination of nature, desecration of sacred sites, you know, that's the effort of these elders to penetrate the doors and open into the UN collectively in this collective body of the world to get the word out. And it has not really succeeded, I think, in their eyes, but it is really something, and I can maybe share that in the next blog a little bit more about this man and his speech to the UN. But I know I'm running out of time. So if there's any questions, I think we can wrap things up. And I'll just one more little rhyme that I remember from my treasure hunt for truth of the medallion buried under winter snow. But I can reconfigure this into a pretty profound message. The rhyme, the limerick clue went, nature does what nature wills and swallows up man's silly frills. Don't fence me in may be your song, but spotting a fence won't do you wrong. And basically what that meant was a barbed wire fence, which is man-made and kind of ugly, gets swallowed up by a tree. So eventually the tree grows around it, and the bole of the tree becomes a fence post because the barbed wire sticks through it. It's just funny looking. And sure enough, as I was on the treasure hunt, there was this wire sticking out of a tree, and it was snapped off. So each side of the wire was snapped off at about 2 feet. So it was just these 2 feet of wire sticking out both sides of the tree. And it stunned me because that was the clue. Don't fence me in. Maybe your song was a clue to a previous treasure hunt that says, don't go to that park. But, you know, the profound statement there is that, you know, if we war with nature, nature will win. You know, it will destroy us. It will make, it will extinguish. And in time, you know, in change, time of change, it will recreate. And we start anew again. And that's the point. Regardless of the outcome, we do our best. And we know change will come. And if we do our best, then regardless of the fear of death, we can manage that fear and live in peace. So with that, I'll end.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You want to know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.